We earnestly look forward to time in his presence. And so today, I've been asked to round up, to summarize this, or finish off this, this series on prayer with prophetic prayer. Is that okay? Prophetic prayer. So what is prophetic prayer? We're going to look at that this morning, and then we're going to move into actually a bit of prayer time. Ooh, this is getting edgy, isn't it? This is really good. We've got quite a lot to get through, so we'll be motoring quite hard. So Jim Ware, beginning of February, from the North Devon House of Prayer, he came and he touched on this at the beginning of February, and he said how he brought a message on how we hear from God and respond in a prayer assignment, and how we need our own intimate relationship with God to be effectual at doing so. He likened it to the parable of the 10 virgins, didn't he? You know, we can't borrow someone else's experience of God. We can't borrow someone else's oil. We need our own. We need our own experience. Levy said a while, and I've lost him. Where's he gone? Levy said a while ago, he said, you know, prophecy, he said, the thing about prophecy is it's simply listening to God and then passing on his message, listening to the Holy Spirit and passing it on. So as a baseline for today, if it's okay, as a baseline for today, can I assume that we tend to know basically what prophecy is? Is that all right? Yeah, if you don't see me afterwards, we tend to know kind of what prayer is, talking to God. So prophecy is kind of hearing from God and passing it on. Prayer is kind of praying to God, hearing from him. Chris Vallotton said this. He said, listening to the Holy Spirit isn't actually hard. The difference between hearing and not hearing is where our focus is for today. Do we stop, as Moses did at the burning bush, and turn aside? Because it was only when Moses turned aside that God spoke to him through the burning bush. Before he turned aside, it was just a shiny thing. It was just something that happened in the desert quite regularly when bushes caught fire. But when he turned aside, he found the presence of God. He heard from God. We need to make sure that we are turning aside to hear from God. So I want to go and build on that and explore how this deliberate, intentional intimacy with God positions us to hear from the very heart of God as he calls on us to partner with him and see his kingdom advance on this earth. Is that all right this morning? So why don't we pray? Father, I want to pray that this morning you would anoint this time together. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us. I pray that you would excite our spirit man, spirit woman this morning, and that we would experience you. We would experience you in a greater way. We would pray prayers straight from the heart of God. And that we would hear your heartbeat. We would pray your heartbeat into being. In Jesus' name. Amen. So prophecy, there are four basic types of prophecy. And this is taken, by the way, from Frank DiMaggio's excellent book, Developing the Prophetic Ministry, which I heartily recommend. And the first one is prophecy of scripture, then spirit of prophecy, gift of prophecy, and office of prophet. So we're just going to expand on these a little bit. 2 Peter 1 verses 20 to 21 says this, above all, you must realize that no prophecy in scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God. So the prophecy of scripture, depending on how you count, and by the way, we've just established I'm an engineer, so I can't count. So depending on how you count, there are something between 1,800 and 2,500 prophecies contained within the Bible, contained within the Word of God, of which 2,000 or thereabouts have been fulfilled to the letter. 300 of them by Christ himself. And the remaining 500 are unfulfilled prophecy, which means it's prophecy for events which haven't yet happened, haven't yet occurred. It's not that the prophecy has failed, it's that they haven't yet occurred. So prophecy that's contained within the Word of God, within Scripture, is the highest revelation of God to man. It is absolutely infallible. It contains no errors, no mistakes, and no imperfection. Prophecy contained within the Word of God. Moving on to the spirit of prophecy. Revelation 19:10 says this, for the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness for Jesus. The spirit of prophecy is when For instance, we're in a church setting today, and the Holy Spirit moves upon someone to bring a word, to bring an encouragement, to bring a prophetic word over an individual or over the congregation. It is always positive. It is always edifying. It always builds up. It always points to Jesus. And it always, always, always aligns with the Word of God. Is that okay? Now, the next step on from that, so building upon that, is kind of the gift of prophecy. And 1 Corinthians 12, 4 and 10, verses 4 and 10 says this. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. So this is, if you like, a kind of a step up from the spirit of prophecy. This is when a person is more in tune to the flow of the Holy Spirit and is more in tune, and God gives this gift of prophecy that they can bring on a more regular basis to the church and to other people. Again, it always edifies, always builds up, always aligns with the Word of God. Are you following me so far? Because I'm moving quite quick because we've got quite a bit to get through. The fourth one is the office of the prophet. Ephesians 4:11 says this, and he gave the apostles, this is God, God gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So the prophet is what we call one of the fivefold ministries. It's one of the cornerstones of the church. A prophet is someone who Christ chooses, you can't choose to become a prophet. A prophet is someone that Christ chooses to function consistently, constantly, and accurately in the words of knowledge, wisdom, discernment, confirmation, revelation, predictions, visions, correction. And that's where the spirit of prophecy and the gift of prophecy differ from the office of prophet, is this corrective element, and ministry confirmation. And that's the same again. And again, it always accords with the Word of God. It always should, if it's given correctly, accords with the Word of God. Not all who prophesy are prophets. So what does that look like with prayer? Well, we're kind of familiar with prayer. Most of us understand that prayer isn't just a one-way chat, is it? It's just not a one-way conversation. But it's actually a two-way conversation with God himself. Matthew 6, it says, when the Lord's Prayer, it says, give us this day our daily bread. Now, I know we're moving into fasting, all right, but this isn't just talking about food. This is talking about spiritual nourishment. This is talking about receiving something to our spirits from the Holy Spirit. And it's all about this two-way response. We pray and we should be open to hear. So, types of prayer. We've got kind of the shopping list prayer. Who's familiar with the shopping list prayer? God, would you do this? God, would you do that? God, would you work on them? And God, they're not very nice. Could you work on them, please, as well? Thank you very much. Amen. How about spending time in his presence? Soaking prayer. Seeking time. When we take a step back from the business of life and we just say, Lord, I just want to be with you. I just want to encounter you. I just want to feed on your presence. And you might have the Bible with you. You might have some worship music playing in the background. But it's when we take a step back and just say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. We take time to step back, hide under the shadow of his wings, nestle in his presence, reflect on his word. And this is actually a hugely important part of prayer life. Then there's interceding prayer. When we pray into specific situations, we stand in the gap for someone. We stand in the gap for a particular situation. We pray for open doors for our brothers and sisters around the world who are in threat of their lives, their physical, mortal lives, threat of persecution, and we intercede, we stand, and we say, God, would you make a difference? God, would you help? God, would you move? But prophetic prayer now, prophetic prayer comes when the Holy Spirit starts to work on us to such an extent that when faced with a situation that's seemingly impossible, when faced with a situation that is impossible to overcome, we start to prophetically speak into that situation with Christ-given authority, that has been handed to us as disciples of the living God. It's a kind of prayer which says, you know, I've had enough of this. Not on my watch. I'm gonna take this, and it's time to change the dynamic here because this has gone on too long. And we begin to apply the principles of faith. And Hebrews 11 verse 1 says that faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So what do we mean by that? It's taking hold of the promises of God, believing without doubt that they are the sovereign will of God, and prophetically calling and declaring them into being with the faith and absolute conviction in our hearts as though they've already been fulfilled. Does that make sense? It's a little bit quiet. Does that make sense? As though they've been fulfilled. Well, we're going to look at that a bit further. What, and Hebrews 11, by the way, if you're struggling with faith, Hebrews 11 is absolutely full, chock full of examples of our forefathers who have walked before us and have achieved incredible things which are naturally impossible because they've walked the walk of faith and moved prophetically to take ground. So let's. What does a prophetic prayer look like? Now, this isn't a formula, okay? This is not a prescription for a prophetic prayer. But I just want to kind of help you. If it's a new concept, what does a prophetic prayer look like? So imagine for a moment that your son or your daughter, who has been brought up in faith, has walked away. Imagine that they've taken a step back and said, you know, I've had enough of faith. I don't want to go to church anymore. I don't believe in God anymore. I'm going to do my own thing. Does it sound like the parable of the prodigal son? It does. So, this, as a parent, this would break your heart. And the father, who is pictured in the story, stands looking, yearning for his son to return. You have three options, I think, broadly three options when faced with this sort of situation. The first one is give up. You know, they're a lost cause. Done my best. They've gone away. C'est la vie. That's it. Goodbye. That's not us. That is not us. The other thing is you can say, God, please, please, please work on their heart, bring them back. Please, please change the way they see things. That's good. That is good. That kind of that supplication, that pleading, that pleading from the heart is great to say, Lord, would you touch? But prophetic prayer comes in when we take hold of the authority that we have in Christ Jesus to change the world as we pray and declare his authority into situations and circumstances that we face that God puts in our hearts. And we always pray according to the will of God. So, in this example, we know that the Bible says that God is not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to salvation in Jesus Christ. So first off, we know that we are praying according to the will of God. We're taking hold of this. And so the prayer might go something like this. Father, it is written that you are not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to salvation through Jesus Christ. And I call back my son from his wandering in Jesus' name. I speak to the scales over his eyes, and I pray for them to fall off in Jesus' name, that he would see clearly who you are and come back into right relationship with you. As with the story of the prodigal son, so would it be with my son. And I call him back into the loving arms of the Father in Jesus' name. We cut off all pride, arrogance, selfishness and deception that is preventing him from seeing you for who you really are, and we declare clarity of thought and vision in Jesus' name. And I thank you for the day, O Lord, that they come back into that rightness of relationship in Jesus' name. So what we've done there, and I say that isn't a formula, okay? We need to be led, each of us needs to be led by the Spirit of God as we pray prophetic prayers. But in that example, what have we done? Well, firstly, we've wielded the Word of God. It's a two-edged sword. It is written. We declared the living, active Word of God into the situation. And so, from that, it's really, really important that we get to know what's in this book, because we need to know how to use it. I am absolutely rubbish at memorizing Scripture. Absolutely rubbish. I try, and I try, and I try. And it goes in for a week, maybe, maybe more, and then it disappears again. I don't know what I do. I don't know where I put it down, but I lose it. But it's really important to keep ourselves refreshed in the Word, to keep reading, to keep learning, to keep taking it in. The second thing we did, we spoke with the authority of Jesus. We spoke directly into the situation with the authority that we have in Christ. And spoiler alert, if you want to hear more about that, come to Exmouth tonight, because there's going to be stuff upon the word of the Lord, the Word and the name of Jesus. Third, we addressed specific issues. And we began to cut off the effect that was being had on that person. And we began to call in what we wanted to see. And lastly, we gave thanks as though it had already happened. We gave thanks for the fulfillment of that prayer. Everything in accordance with the Word of God. It's the yardstick, it's the measure against which everything else is measured. 21 years ago, when our youngest daughter was born, was probably the first time that my wife Jackie and I started to move in this kind of prayer. We didn't know what we were doing. We were both we were quite young in the faith. And our daughter was born with severe problems. One of them was we received a letter to say that she had an extremely serious heart condition and had to come in for more tests. In fact, they rang us as well and said and actually got her in for the very next day because she was so ill. We had no clue. We could have been worried, but strangely, at the time, we didn't understand it, but strangely, we weren't. But we decided to come together and we prayed. We didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know how we were praying. It just seemed the right thing to do. And we prayed something like this: God, would you intervene? We can do nothing. The situation seems pretty bad. And when we go for these further tests tomorrow, Lord, we want to hear the consultant say, she's absolutely fine. I don't know why she's been referred. That's all it was. That was the extent of our prayer. We went for the tests the very next day. We walked in. We had the peace of God. I've got to say, we had the peace of God through this circumstance. She got hooked up to the machines. They took her readings. They compared the readings with those that had been taken just a day or two before. The consultant looked at the reading and said, well, actually, she's absolutely fine. I don't know why she's been referred. Word for word, with a slight grammatical change, word for word, what we'd asked God, we wanted to hear him say. And you know what? I could tell you story after story after story of what God has done in our youngest daughter's life over the years, and how she has defied everything that has been spoken over her by the medical profession. And it is incredible. And I've never met anyone who has so much love for Jesus. I've never met anyone who has such a pure heart. And I've never met anyone who has such a heart for worship as my youngest daughter. So do you see the difference between asking God to intervene and actually prophetically declaring a change in circumstance and situation? Are you with me so far? It's a bit heavy, isn't it? It's a bit heavy topic. But anyway, we're going to step up a gear now. The reason we looked at prophecy earlier on is because I believe there's another dynamic to prophetic prayer. So we've got prayer. We've got prophecy. What happens if you start to move in the prophetic and God drops something in your heart and encourages you to pray that and declare that into fruition? He can reveal it in several different ways. Have you ever had a verse of scripture which kind of leaps out at you when you're looking for a change? Have you ever been woken up in the night with a dream? Have you ever had a vision? Have you ever heard the audible voice of God? Audible? That's a new word. Audible voice of God. Have you ever felt that deep tightening that comes when the Spirit of God moves upon you? Amos 3:7 says this: surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. This can happen at any time. I was praying, having a quiet time, probably 2 or 3 months ago, and I was just praying through some stuff. I was petitioning God for some stuff, and all of a sudden, the weight God put on my heart, the weight that He had, the grief that He had, that He was feeling for a particular problem that we have in our society right now. And I was praying kind of around that. I was asking God to break my heart for what breaks His. And suddenly this sense came upon me. And He gave me the unction. He gave me the urge to pray into this situation, to break through and to see things change in the heavenly realm. Just 2 or 3 weeks ago, Jackie and I and Francesca went on a trip, just a weekend away. We went up north. I won't say where it was, but we went away, and we had a lovely weekend away. And we're walking around this particular town, and I just mentioned to Jackie. I said, "You know, there's lots of shops shut. Feels a bit down at heel, this place." And with that, God said, "Let me show you what's going on." So I said, "God, would you show me your perspective?" And immediately He showed me something that was going on in the spiritual realm over that town. And again, He said, "Would you pray?" So I began to pray into it. So this can happen at any time. If we take the time to turn aside, if we take the time from our busy days to just, "God, what are you doing? Lead me in prayer. Show me what's on your heart that I may pray it in." So when you combine the spirit of the prophetic with praying prophetically, don't be surprised if you see situations start to change. Don't be surprised if you wake up in the middle of the night burdened for a particular situation. Don't be surprised if you wake up in the morning already praying when you're waking up. What happens if they don't? What happens if things don't change straight away? Do we let our faith step back? Do we let our faith wane at all? Well, firstly, you know that history is littered. History is actually covered with prayers of saints who have not seen what they've been praying about come into fruition. They've been praying the long game. They've been praying, and the impact is not seen until the next generation or perhaps the one after that. So do not be discouraged if prayers don't seem to get answered straight away. The second thing is, as it says in Romans 5, verses 3 to 5, is that our suffering in this regard, our suffering in not seeing the prayers answered in this case, produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Hope. Faith, the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. So even though we may not always see things change, the calling on our lives is to believe in faith, even through impossible situations, even through things that seem absolutely impossible to break through. The calling on our heart is to pray, and when God directs us, to pray prophetically as though it's already happened. Amen? So who's up for putting this into practice right now? Well, Sammy's just going to start playing. Isn't that right? It is right. That wasn't prophetic, by the way. Sammy's going to start playing. But what I want us to do, okay, each of us, I'm sure that each of us are facing situations that we need to see changed. And so I want to encourage us right now is to take authority over these situations. I want to encourage us right now, as Sammy is playing, to speak up. Don't internalize, to speak out, because there is an authority being taken when we speak into the heavenlies. As God spoke and created the world, we speak life, we speak change, we speak deliverance, we speak hope. So I don't know if you're struggling with fear at the moment, it is written that the Lord hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Declare it this morning. If you need healing, it is written, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. If you're worried, it is written that the peace of God transcends all understanding. If you're suffering from oppression this morning, it is written that the anointing breaks the yoke. If you don't know how to proceed, if you don't know how to go forward, it is written that thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Show me the next step, Lord. So let's all stand. And let's begin to pray. Each of us, let's begin to pray. Begin to pray out loud. Let's speak into these circumstances right now and declare God's victory, declare God's favor, and declare that the word of God into what we face. So really change the atmosphere today. Lord, no longer would we be cowed down and subservient to that which would come against us. But Lord, we stand upon your word, we stand upon your promises, and we declare them in the heavenly realm in Jesus' name, that we would see chains broken, we would see people set free, we would see people protected from persecution in Jesus' name. Lord, it is written that you are the defender of the weak, and we pray, Lord, for those we've been seeing on the Open Doors video earlier on, we pray you defend them in Jesus' name. And we speak your victory into these situations, O Lord. We speak healing over this congregation in Jesus' name. We declare the favor of Almighty God over this congregation in the name of Jesus. That you would do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. It is written, the fervent, effective prayer of a righteous person avails much. And we declare that in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the authority that you've given us in the name of Jesus. The same authority that the disciples had when declaring healing and taking ground is upon us now as the church then as it is now. Your bride, the bride of Christ. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the victory in Jesus' name. Amen.